Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast. Hello and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm Sherry.
And I'm David.
And we are working on a several part series on our desires and the ability that we have to change our desires and understanding that concept, which seems kind of odd to be able to do that, right? In our society, yeah. That's like, oh, your desires are you. And so just pursue them and do whatever you want. So the concept itself might be a new one to you. And so then how in the world do you even do that?
Yeah.
We have so with such a world that is insistent that we just do whatever we want with whatever we have, whatever desires are coming across our mind. How then do we change what we desire?
Yep. And we're covering 8 steps. We've already covered 5, if I can do my math. Oh, man. We have 3
yes,
more.
5. We've covered 5. So those 5, just to recap, are to first, as we're learning to love virtue, and we're talking about this from a sexual addiction perspective. But of course, all of these steps are applicable to any desire that you want to change, whether that's I want to be someone who really loves exercise and has the value of having a strong body, whether it's changing eating patterns and habits to be more healthy, whether that looks like not eating too much or whether it looks like cutting out processed foods and sugar.
Yeah,
and
right.
It really does help us shift in all of these different areas. So you'll hear us bounce around with our language a little bit as we're talking about the different things. But we're initially looking at that from that perspective of sexual addiction or right. pornography issues or different things like that.
Right. And you see that you can apply this to lots of things. But you also can probably see with food being such a great example that if you just didn't have the desire to eat whatever, it would be so much right. easier to be healthy.
Yes.
And I know initially you can think, well, there's no way. Is it possible to lose the desire for a lot of the things that, you know, are keeping you unhealthy?
Right.
And I believe it is.
It is.
In fact, I believe it's part of this process of growth to figure that out for yourself.
Absolutely.
So
as we're looking at these steps, our first one is to understand what virtue really is, making sure that we are getting in alignment with that concept. And again, this is specifically referring to like that lust versus virtue space. But you can apply it to other things, right? When you love virtue, you're choosing clarity, peace, self-respect, connection with others and with yourself and with God. So it is applicable to any of the things you're looking at. You really want to understand what that virtue is. Do a deep dive, like we've mentioned before. Really, really understand that concept.
And then the second one is to strengthen your why and define your purpose. The third was genuinely pursue loving virtue with energy, vigor, and effort. And these are
yay,
like they inspire you words, hopefully.
Yes, inspiring, move forward words. And the fourth was to create experiences of loving virtue in triggering situations through visualizing. Again, you can change this, the word virtue, right? Pursuing loving virtue. You can shift it a little bit to fit the category or the different situations genuinely pursue loving a healthy body, loving healthy foods,
patience,
yes, all of the things, yeah. Right? In those situations. So if you are trying to be a more patient person, you want to change that desire in you to be more patient, you're going to create experiences of lovingly being patient in triggering situations where normally you might go to yelling or getting upset or being impatient in the situation. You're going to do that through visualization. So again, huge pattern, definitely something you want to be doing because it literally is changing those neural pathways in your brain in a similar way that actually doing it in real life does. So it's fantastic that you can get all this practice in ahead of time.
Yep. Number 5 is to see others as souls, not objects.
Mm-hmm. As well as yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, as well as yourself. That's a good point.
Yes. And so that can help you moving through whatever issues you're going through, is to really see yourself and others as souls and not just as objects or parts or as things that are left to the whim of whatever is happening, this sort of unmoored kind of feeling that you're left to whatever it is that your desires, wherever your desires are going to take you.
Yes. And this brings us to number 6, which is shift from suppression or avoidance to acceptance and substitution.
Yes.
So here's the idea. And we talked about this as well in the intrusive unwanted thoughts episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't tell yourself, don't think about that. That's not how our brains work.
Yes.
Pink elephant is the example we always use.
Right.
So we are not trying to avoid or deny or fight the urge. We are accepting it and learning how to redirect the thought. So it's a completely different approach, which is really why, for example, you know about affirmations. We've talked about this a lot. My 4th affirmation that I've given as homework for a long, long time, I've changed recently. Used to be I can manage my emotions in healthy ways.
Mm-hmm.
I've since changed it, upgraded it to, ooh, I can relate to my thoughts and emotions in healthy ways.
I like that.
This idea that we relate to thoughts and emotions in different ways. And you get to choose how you relate to those thoughts that come. We don't have to be mad at the thoughts or deny them or avoid them. We just change how we relate to them. Again, going back to the intrusive unwanted thoughts. But what does that mean? Redirect the thought.
Right. So replacing them with something meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, oh, that's silly, or not interested, or nice try, and shift your thoughts toward a positive meditation, a prayer, a favorite scripture. To you can redirect your actions toward exercise or journaling or music or serving somebody else, helping someone. So replacing and redirecting yourself. And I think, again, it's not in that fighting it, I shouldn't be doing this. I should be doing something else. So I'm going to do this something else while I'm constantly in the back of my head trying to push away this other thing, right? It's just I'm not interested. That doesn't serve me. That's not right. Useful. Right. It's, again, going back to that intrusive thoughts episodes that we did. We're not going to go grab onto it, pull it in, and give it this attention right. by saying that we're not going to give it attention. Right?
Because which wolf wins?
Yes. The one that you're feeding, the one you're thinking about. Exactly. So if we've got that one in and we're just I'm not going to think about this. Well, we're still holding it.
Right.
I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to hold on to this anymore. I'm not going to whatever. It's just unimportant. This doesn't serve me.
And it's surprisingly effective to acknowledge it.
Yes.
Again, going back to managing emotions, name it to tame it. When we're talking to children about you feel angry, for example, name it. say it. Mm-hmm. Say, I feel blank. And it automatically gives us some control. It seems to shift it just by identifying it. So be able to say, oh, I'm feeling triggered. That's silly. Nice try. Not interested. I'm acknowledging the thought, and it's a lot easier to move on
right. from
it when you acknowledge it. When you avoid it or deny it or feel bad that you have it, feel shame mm-hmm. that it comes up, it actually helps it to continue.
Exactly. Exactly. So important. So important to acknowledge, accept the reality instead of fight against it, and then move on.
Yep.
So another idea as you're working on this is to create an anchor thought. So an anchor thought is a specific memory or quote or an image that instantly reminds you of who you are and what matters to you. It's kind of a core, really important piece. And it's really helpful if you write that down. And if you even practice, again, like we're talking about the visualization step in step four, to practice yourself doing that and going to that imagery,
mm-hmm.
right? And that can be anything from maybe holding your baby for the first time or seeing yourself as a powerful being of light or any number of things that really center you and pull you back to the person that you've decided you want to be, something that encompasses the desire that you've decided you want in your life.
Yeah, a good anchor thought for me is to simply say, I do put my trust in God and he will still deliver me. So that phrase has a lot of meaning to me. And that's the kind of thing that if I am triggered or in a situation that's hard for me, coming back to that anchor thought is something of a reset. Oh yeah, who am I? What am I about? What am I trying to do?
Right.
And it serves that purpose for me, and you need something that is also meaningful in an emotional way that makes you feel that will help you.
Yes. And that might be a great thing, again, as we go back a few steps, when we're talking about that meditation, that mm-hmm. That time that you're taking to breathe and connect with yourself, that's so critical. This is a fantastic piece to reflect on, to ponder on, and to decide what it is that can be for you. And then once you have that, that's something that you can use daily to reground, to find quickly, so that when you're in these moments, you can come to it quickly, find it quickly, ground yourself quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very helpful.
I love this step. So the next step, our seven of eight, we're almost there, is to expect struggles and keep going. This is, again, we talked about this a little bit in the last episode, where you have to give it time. You mm-hmm. have to be willing to take the time. And we're talking, you know, you have to give yourself, you know, minimum 3 months of really putting solid effort toward it. Because things are uncomfortable when you're making new changes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Definitely.
It's always uncomfortable. It doesn't feel really great to have to come in contact with and acknowledge, instead of just immediately escape different stimulations, whether that's feeling aroused or triggered, whether that's having a sugar withdrawal, whether that's the super sore muscles from trying a new exercise program. Any of those things are going to be uncomfortable, that shift.
And I hope you realize that so much of, let's say, therapy is breaking patterns and right. making patterns. So your pattern breakers and pattern makers, hopefully by the end of this process, you're experts
yes. in that.
If something is hard or uncomfortable, it actually shows how much you're changing and
mm-hmm.
how much you were a certain way if another way is this uncomfortable.
Yes.
And so that's a good way to reframe it. You're on yes. the right path.
Which is fantastic. Yes, you're on the right path. and look at how much work you are doing.
Yeah.
Which I love that as a reframe, even from like with step six, right? Too, like all these things, they all fit together so beautifully. You just shift how you're thinking about it. Like, oh, this is so hard. Like, oh, look at how far I'm going. Like, look at how much I'm changing. Look at how much more powerful I'm becoming every day in this new pathway, in this new desire. It's just when we're changing those neural pathways, again, we've talked before in other episodes about when you're doing that, it's kind of like forging your way with a machete through the jungle. And then as you keep treading that path, now you've got a muddy path, and then you've got a nice solid path, and then it's paved, and then you've got a highway, right? Like, it's this process of creating a new, easily travelable. I don't even know if that's a word.
Travelable. I think so.
It's a word. It's a word, right? We've made it a word. Path through your brain.
Yep.
So this is just evidence, right, of the shifts and the changes that you're forging and who you're becoming. So don't confuse temptation or struggles or triggers with failure.
Yeah.
Right? Feeling those triggers doesn't make you impure, doesn't make you bad.
Right.
Especially when those come from the outside of us so often.
Yeah. Which they do. Yep.
Yes. Yep. All of us get triggered with different things. Like, things just come in and out of our minds and our view. Driving down the highway, there's billboards, there's all kinds of things.
Right? The shoulder angel and shoulder devil are real things. We get influenced.
Yes. There's lots of outside influences.
Lots of directions. Yep.
And so what matters is what you do with that.
Right.
You know, and that's something I love talking to teenagers and kids about, right? It's not what you get exposed to, it's what you choose to do about it in that moment.
Yep.
What you choose to do with those thoughts, with those feelings. So say you don't make a fantastic choice right away. You can view those slip ups, catch it when you can. It's not like, well, I've, you know, messed up now, might as well fully indulge, right? You want to catch yourself as quickly as you can and view those as learning moments and not defeats. Okay, what happened here? What was going on? Ooh, I was hungry, or I was, you know, do your halt BS. I was hungry or lonely or angry or angry. I did them in the wrong order. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired, bored, or sad, right? So find, you know, okay, was I one of those? What were the circumstances? Oh, I didn't get enough sleep. Okay, so maybe I want to make sleep a bottom line for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bed at a different time, right?
Yeah, learn from it.
You want to learn, identify what you can take away and learn, have a learning experience around it.
And really consider, you know, the only real failure is quitting and giving up.
Yeah.
As long as you don't quit and you don't give up and you just keep moving forward, even if it's a little bit different or just a little bit more time, reflection, thinking about it, anything other than nothing is progress and moving forward. So just don't quit or give up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And practice radical self-compassion. Yeah,
definitely.
I am growing. I choose again now.
Yep. That's why, I mean, I ponder on this all the time, how everything seems so beautifully orchestrated to reinforce true, healthy principles over and over and over.
Yeah.
Think about how this earth rotates, and we have morning, and then afternoon, evening, the sun goes down, then it's dark. And it's darkest and coldest right before dawn again, but we can count on the dawn. It will come, the sun will rise, and then we can see again and light increases. Every single day is a new beginning, every single day. I think it's a reminder that if there's something that we want, we will stumble and fall, but if we just keep going, keep moving forward, there is a new, fresh start.
Yes.
Just like every single day there is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a beautiful reminder, practice this radical self-compassion. You are growing, you can choose, and I hope you do.
Yes, Yes. And you know what? If you didn't for a couple days or a month or a year, you can now.
Yeah.
It is
the what sun you're still choosing. Rose today, didn't it?
Yes. You still get to choose. There's never a point at which it's like, oh, well, you know, you've run out of time or opportunities to choose. Now you're just a piece of trash on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. And it's never, no, you always have every second of every day. You have that opportunity to make a different choice. Yep.
Absolutely.
And to choose those desires that you really want.
And this is how we have to approach this.
Yeah, in order to get through those struggles. So expect you're going to have struggles. Expect it's going to be hard. Expect you're not going to be perfect in this process. And then keep going. Just radical acceptance, going. Radical self-compassion.
Yes. And finally, this number 8 sort of strengthens a lot of this. It's a spiritual practices, number 8, spiritual practices. So in religious tradition, loving virtue is nurtured through the spirit or through relationship with the divine, through your higher power. And so seeking that relationship and that companionship really does become an important part of this. And if I had a dollar for every time somebody has said, hey, when I'm doing these things, I feel better. This other stuff just feels far away. So if you remember virtue and lust, and this is like a neck and neck car race, right? Ford is
sometimes virtue. You're
And Ferrari is lust, sleek and sexy. But we're trying to pull away and begin lapping lust. We want to get so far ahead that the race isn't very close anymore. I don't know that we can get rid of it entirely. I think probably that's possible and we should work towards that. But we can get it certainly to where it is not nearly the pull that it has been before. It's not nearly as powerful. It doesn't cause us to act against our virtues or values as much as it has. And I do believe that spiritual practices are vital to maintaining this.
Absolutely.
I don't know that you can without, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it doesn't have to follow a specific religious practice.
Right.
But any way that you are going to connect with the divine, connect with a higher power that's greater than yourself. And I think that really is why you see that in every 12-step program.
Right.
They are spiritual programs.
Right.
They are definitely connected to the divine because that is the way. That is the way to get through these types of experiences. You have to have this is a critical and necessary step. So whether that is, you know, prayer to a specific deity or whether that is a prayer of meditation in connection with the universe, divine forces, you need to have that sincere daily prayer and connection. You need to have either scripture study or religious study of some kind or a study of connectedness to the divine, you know, whatever study that practice that looks like, especially those focusing if you're working on a sexual addiction or pornography issues, it needs to focus on purity, worthiness, grace, things like that. Then for those who have religious houses of worship that they go to, definitely make sure that you are connecting with those. That might look like going to temple. That might look like going to synagogue, going to church meeting houses on Sunday for worship services. Whatever that looks like for you, connect to those.
Yep.
And then getting accountability and support from religious leaders.
Yeah, community.
Others. Yes,
community. Can make such a difference.
It's so huge.
Yeah.
It's so huge. Getting blessings, getting support from people It's a very powerful and important practice. So those are our 8 steps to working towards having different desires, to changing your desires.
Changing your desires. It's possible.
Fantastic. It's possible. You can do it. And by including each of those steps, whatever it is that you're changing your desires from and to, as long as I guess they're on a higher plane, I guess if you desire your desires are going to be not good, then you probably need different steps. But
that's easy. No steps required.
Yes. We can, if you're looking to move to a 2.0 version of yourself, right. A more connected with others and yourself version of yourself, then These are some fantastic steps to start incorporating into your new 2.0 lifestyle.
Yeah.
As we were talking about, we've got to have that lifestyle shift and change.
Yep. I hope this was helpful.
Yeah. We're excited to hear from you with any progress and things that you're doing and how that's changed things for you. So come back next time and we'll have a different topic now that we've spent a couple episodes on this one.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us and we hope it's been helpful.
Talk to you later. Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.